The third aliyah of Parshas Bahar is of tremendous relevance to one of the great controversies of recent years, and that is the Heta Mechira debate. In the late 1800s, when there were Jews living in pre-state Israel and were greatly concerned about how they would survive going a year without working the land, there was a plan that was developed that would allow for the selling of the land to non-Jews for that period, and that the premise was that that would remove the relevance of the laws of Shemitah, and the land could be worked, and they could benefit from the produce. This was greatly controversial, and there were many aspects to the controversy, but part of it was philosophical, and the objection was raised that the idea that it's specifically difficult to survive this challenge was already addressed by the Torah, and the Torah promises in this aliyah that will be taken care of. And we find the language here, V'chisomru manochal bashana hashviyas, hein lo nizra v'lo nasof es tvoasenu, when you shall say, what are we going to eat if we're not working the land? V'tzivisi eskikasi lachem bashana hashishis v'asasas hatfua l'sholosh hashanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that when we're going to say, what do we have to eat, he will command his bracha, and there will be enough produce to last for 3 years. It's interesting that Shem Shmuel quotes from his father, Abnezer, that one would think that it's a problem already that they're asking if they're of such faith, so then they shouldn't ask, what are we going to eat? And he quotes from Rav Zusha that if they didn't ask, then the bracha would come automatically. And in fact, Moshe Feinstein, who's Darash Moshe, addresses this, and he says that if they didn't ask, they wouldn't have had to have the increase, and they'd be able to sustain themselves on what they have. But if they do ask, so then there's going to need to be some kind of visible reassurance, and that's the extra produce. But one way or another, there seems to be a promise here from the Torah that despite the fact that Shemitah is a challenge, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us, and therefore that's a inherent aspect of Shemitah. So why is there a justification to take any steps to circumvent it if this was already anticipated and addressed by the Torah? So many of the advocates of the Heta Mechira pointed out that this is presumably the case when Shemitah is binding on a level min HaTorah. But a crucial aspect of the argument for the Heta Mechira is that in contemporary times, Shemitah is only obligatory on a level midrabanan, possibly even less than that. And if that's the case, so then the bracha is not included in that. This is based on a comment of the Sma in Chosh Mishpat and Samach Zayin. This is also how the Chassam Sofer seems to understand in his Chidushim Tegitin and many others. And Rav Yosef Engel, in a Sefer Otzrus Yosef, which is a volume devoted to Shemitah B'zman Hazeh, he writes that this bracha that comes from the creator of the world is essentially a natural development that comes from the fact that we are fulfilling his mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is not actually binding, and it's only a rabbinic practice that's relevant, then to assume that this bracha is going to come anyway, that would be considered somchin hanes, that's reliance on a miracle, and that would be inappropriate. So this was a very significant debate to this whole issue, the question of, should we consider it to have already been addressed in the Torah, that even if Shemitah is only Drabanan, there is a promise that we will be taken care of. This has tremendous relevance to whether it's appropriate to assume we can just go forward and rely on this bracha, or should that not be considered the case? So the Chidushi Harim, in his comments to Maseches Gittin and Daf Lamed Vav Med Aleph, he understood that the bracha is relevant even if Shemitah is Drabanan, and that also seems to be what the Chazon Ish is saying in his comments to Shvius, because he seems to understand that the reward is for the spiritual effort and for the commitment rather than for the fulfillment of a specific mitzvah. The Hisoris Tshuva discusses this in one of his Tshuvas in Chosh Mishpat and Siman Yud Aleph, where he thinks it also makes sense that the bracha should apply because the Torah also wants us to observe mitzvos drabanan. So if there's a rabbinic mitzvah, so then it should bring the bracha with it as well. But he nonetheless, practically speaking, accepts the view of the Sma and leaves that as somewhat of a question. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who was one of the previous chief rabbis of the Rishon LeZion, so he writes in a Sefer Maimer Mordechai that he thinks just empirically you have to assume that the bracha is in effect in modern times because we've seen so much success that has come to people who have observed the Shemitah. There's another pasuk in this brief aliyah that also has been invoked in this debate. The aliyah ends, V'ha'aretz lo simacher litzmisus, ki li ha'aretz ki gerim v'soshivim atem imadi. and that this land should not be sold forever. The language of smisus is a topic of much discussion in Rashi and the Ramban, and the Meshech Chachma of Sham Shmuel Fal Hirsch understand it comes from the word meaning frozen, fixed, and permanent. It should not be sold forever, for the land is belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are strangers and dwellers within it. So all of the land in our possession, we shall grant a redemption for the land. But the Tziv in his commentary understood a extra level of interpretation here, that the land should not be sold absolutely, that is coming to teach that you shouldn't sell your fields to a non-Jew for Shemitah and Yovel, and do so in order to exempt yourself from the relevant obligations, and that the next pasuk saying Geula Titnu La'aretz is to be understood to mean that if the land has been sold to a non-Jew, it should be redeemed in order to allow observance of the Shemitah. Although we'd have to acknowledge that the reference is to a time when the land is fully in Jewish hands. This debate continues to go on Hayom Hazeh with many great gedolim on both sides of the issue, both invoking common principles in order to try to bring about the greatest effectiveness of the settlement and the success of the land towards an ultimate goal when Shemitah will be fully in effect on a level min HaTorah and all of its mitzvos will be able to be realized in their fullest sense.